everybody. Welcome to Monday Night Live in Lexington, you guys. My name is Catherine Kaufman, and I'm a psychic medium here in Lexington, Kentucky. Welcome to my every Monday night show. This is where we discuss what and who we are in this journey called life. Happy Monday, everybody. Good to see y'all. Let me check and make sure that the stream is running on the Facebook page. We'll hop on over here and do a little refresh. And yeah, looks like I see myself. That's awesome. Hey to Susan. Good to see you. Yeah, it was a beautiful day. It was a beautiful day. And hey to Kitty Littrell over here on Instagram. Good to see you. We're going to talk about something really interesting tonight, and that is the presence of magnetite in a human brain. Now, you know, for a long time, a lot of people have poo-pooed using crystals and working with crystals, and I just think it is very interesting that now we are finding out all kinds of things about our own bodies. And the fact that crystals are a part of the makeup of your body. Now, I'm going to show you guys a couple of pictures of actual magnetite that you, like, if you went to a psychic fair or a crystal show, this would be one of the specimens that you might see. Sorry, you guys on Instagram can't see this, but this is a magnetite specimen that you might find at a rock and gem show. And then here's another sample of the view of it. So you can see it can be just irregularly shaped, or it can have this cuboidal diamond type of shape there, just depending on, you know, the surroundings and how it's pressured and how it develops. So this substance is actually in the human brain, and we're finding out a little bit more about it day by day. Let me check for questions on Facebook. If you guys have any questions, please shout out in the comments for Facebook. Oh, or Instagram. I'll try to catch those questions. But the crystal system of magnetite is isometric. Its color is black, gray, brownish tint when it's reflected in the sun. The fracture is uneven. It is a magnetic stone, so some people categorize it under lodestone. And it definitely has north and south poles, which is extremely interesting. Its luster is metallic. And it does have black streaks in it. Now, what we're finding, these are the latest studies that I found on magnetite. And so each human brain on an average contains 7 billion particles of magnetite, weighing a total of 1/1,000,000th of an ounce. Now, that's not a whole lot, but if you think about 7 billion particles, to me, that sounds like quite a significant presence, really, of magnetite in the brain. And it's important because it has been causally linked with potential cellular responses to external magnetic fields. So what that means is that there's now evidence that these particular the cells around this magnetite, the cells are responding to changes in the external magnetic fields when presented to the human brain. So scientists have mapped magnetic materials in the human brain for the first time, revealing that our brains may selectively contain more magnetic material in the lower and more ancient regions. And so that's the midbrain and the subcortex, which is very important. And we're going to get to why in a few minutes. Hey to Melissa Begley, Magical Monday indeed. Thank you for joining tonight. So most of the studies have gone on in Germany, where researchers used 7 specimens donated to measure brain tissue for signs of magnetite. And magnetite is one of the Earth's most magnetic minerals. Scientists have now captured or found special kinds of bacteria that contain the magnetite. But the distribution of magnetite in the human brains has been unclear because there's no systematic study that mapped the mineral in the tissue before, so they don't have anything to compare it to. So humans have magnetites in their brain to begin with. We know that. And the results show that magnetic particles exist in the more ancient part of the brain, like we were saying, the midbrain and the subcortex. So this kind of reflects an evolutionary reference or standpoint, is what they're thinking. So scientists first discovered hints of magnetite in the brain in 1992. A paper reported that tiny crystal grains, some barely wider than a DNA strand, were found in human brain tissue from 7 patients in California. Now, the studies lately are going on in Germany, but this was in 1992 in California. The crystals look like tiny magnets in magnetotactic bacteria that help them navigate along geomagnetic field lines in lakes and saltwater environments. Very interesting. Now, the latest study reveals that the lower regions of the human brain, including the cerebellum and the brainstem, had 2 times more magnetite remnants than the upper regions of the brain. So most of the magnetite is kind of located in that midbrain and subcortex area. Let me check for questions really quick. Make sure we don't have any. Now, here's a question for you. What else is in that area that also kind of helps you navigate and helps you kind of know your balance or your equilibrium? I'll put that to you to see if anybody can give me the answer to that. So the brainstem had consistently higher magnetization than any other region, although only 5 of the 7 brains in California had brainstems intact. So they really couldn't measure the full brainstem content for magnetite because they weren't fully intact. So here's the other part of this, and the reason why I wanted to tell you guys about magnetite is that other findings suggested that the pineal gland plays an important part in directional sense, and that damage to the gland, as indicated by calcification, can cause defective sense of direction. And your pineal gland is also located in the basic same older ancient region of the brain. Excuse me. I need a little libation to water that down. Now, and it's also talking about the pineal gland, perhaps by altering the intrinsic intracranial electromagnetic environment and thus affecting the magnetite's response mechanism. So what they're showing is that magnetite and the pineal gland are closely working to provide this sense of direction for us. And that when we allow our pineal gland to calcify, we have a defective sense of direction. So there's only so much that the small amounts of magnetite can do for us for navigational senses, directional senses. And then, too, we have so many alterations in our natural electromagnetic fields. My question is, how is this affecting the amounts of magnetite or calcification of the pineal gland? And how is this affecting how we feel about our environment, Because when you become ungrounded and you work too, let's say you work too much on a computer and you're exposed to too much blue light, that can lead to calcification of the pineal gland. But it also can lead to a very kind of spaced out, ungrounded type of feeling. And that could be because we are not using and utilizing the magnetite and the pineal gland as they were originally created to function. So let's look at some of the ways that you can decalcify your pineal gland. I don't know of any way to increase the magnetite because we don't know exactly how it gets there or why, but just know that your brain does have these minerals in it, and that a lot of areas of your body function off of minerals and crystals. You know, you've got to have the proper amounts of salt, magnesium, and potassium for your heart to beat normally. So it's super important to really kind of keep normal amounts and levels of all the minerals in your body, but also to use resonant frequencies and other things to decalcify your pineal gland. It will help you feel more glanded, but also the pineal gland is connected to third eye function. And so another one of my questions is, since the magnetite and the pineal gland kind of work together, is the magnetite also instrumental in functioning of the third eye? Now, one of the things that magnetite does, and I found this to be really interesting, is, let's see if I saved it or not. Yes. It also helps biologically as a part of iron metabolism. So because it's a ferrous mineral, it helps the function of the iron inside your body, in your red blood cells and other areas. So that's, to me, that's super important to know. Let me take a look at to see if we have any questions. Hey to Kel Ann over here on Instagram. Good to see you. I know magnetite is not a super interesting topic, but I was thinking that people needed to know that it's present in your body and your brain, and that it does function closely with your pineal gland. So if you're delving into the psychic arts or you're trying to improve your third eye, it's super important to kind of know that this is a substance that goes hand in hand with it. We are going to go over ways to decalcify your pineal gland too. And I'll go over that in just a minute. But resonant frequencies are one way, is probably the best way to decalcify your pineal gland. Now, why does it get calcified in the first place? They haven't really had something definitive on that. Some studies say that it's too much calcium. Some studies say that it's aging, but then they've found, you know, calcified pineal glands in infants. So there's some thing that we're missing with that. Hey to my beautiful neighbor, Miss Amber Benteen. Good to see you tonight. So let's go over some ways to decalcify, because third eye activation is important if you're doing any type of spiritual work or if you're doing any type of psychic work. So I'm going to call off some frequencies you may want to write down to use. And these are vibrational frequencies that you're going to utilize to decalcify. So here we go. We're starting. 963 hertz. 963 hertz. 852 hertz. 852 hertz. 639 hertz. 639 hertz. 528 hertz. 528 hertz. Now, one of the programs that you can use that has frequencies built into their program is called Equisync Deuterium. It's supposed to be an app. And that is a really handy thing that you could use. There's also Soundscape number 14 and Soundscape number 72. And that utilizes some of these Hertz frequencies that you can listen to decalcify the pineal gland. But we're going to talk about a couple of more things too. Above and beyond these powerful pineal gland activation, decalcification frequencies, there are many other configuration options, including meditation depth, theta, which is highly recommended for the third eye. And so, you know, part of my mediumship course, I teach my students how to achieve a very deep theta wave, because that's the brainwave that spirits specifically use for communication. So that's like the key to everything, is being able to go in and out of theta wave at will. Hey to Judith, good to see you tonight. And also to be accurate. So one of the things that we kind of hit on in the mediumship program is validation and accuracy. You know, when is a message? When is it a false message? And a lot of other programs I noticed don't have that to test your ability. Let's go over some ways to detoxify your pineal gland naturally. Okay, so a lot of yoga moves and meditation obviously will decalcify the pineal gland. It's important to get enough daylight or sun on the face. You don't necessarily have to keep your eyes open, close your eyes, and let the sunshine kind of radiate down on your face and your chest. But it's imperative for your pineal gland and the release of melatonin to be activated by a certain amount of light. So it's actually kind of bad for you not to get sunlight. Getting a good night's sleep, and that means that your body's releasing the amount of melatonin that you need. If it's not, take melatonin. That can help keep the pineal gland from calcifying. Avoid blue light, and that's hard for a lot of people, especially there are a lot of people when they come home from work and they want to sit down and peruse on their phone or play a game on their phone, and you're just bombarding yourself with blue light, and that really messes your brain up big time as far as sleep is concerned. Some studies show eliminating fluoride is helpful. Also, watch your calcium intake. They kind of tout the use of essential oils, but they are not really telling me which ones that you might want to diffuse or use. Chlorophyll-rich foods. Now, I felt like that was very interesting to read, because chlorophyll, you know, is made and functions off of sunlight. So I thought that was very, very interesting. Chaga tea is touted to decalcify the pineal gland, along with ingestion of apple cider vinegar and chocolate. Did not know that. It needs to be the high cocoa chocolate, like 80%, the darker chocolate, the bitter chocolate. Ingestion of certain herbs and spices, but again, they're on this thing that I'm looking at, doesn't really tell me which ones. To make sure your levels of boron and iodine are adequate. Also, taking MSM, but that really helps with arthritis too. The use of neem extract or oregano oil, and those are all ways that you can use to detoxify and decalcify your pineal gland. And like I said, it works hand in hand with the magnetite in your body. And then too, other areas in your body that utilize crystals are your inner ear, there are crystals in your inner ear that provide you with balance. And I find that it is extremely interesting that all of these things, the crystals in your inner ear, the magnetite in your midbrain, the pineal gland in the midbrain, also they're all right there together in the ancient part of the brain, which to me, I think that there's something very significant to that. And I think that more study needs to be done in that area to help us understand a little bit more about ourselves. So anyway, I bet you didn't know you had minerals in your brain, but now you do. Anyway, that's all we have for this evening. It's a short but sweet program. I hope that you got some value out of it. I think it's important to know. And I think it's important to, if you're going to do any type of spiritual work, to definitely work at decalcifying the pineal gland and realizing the magnetite is there and that it does guide you in your sense of direction. So maybe in ancient times, when people navigated, they used their sixth sense with their pineal gland and their magnetite to traverse where they were going, because certainly back then in ancient times, they had no maps. So it's interesting, and maybe we've lost part of the ability to do that. So Judith says, so rocks in our head. Yes, Judith, we have rocks. We have many, many crystals and rocks in our head. All right, you guys, have a great week, and I will see you next week. We're going back to alien topic next week. It's going to be good. I'll see you then. Kisses from Kentucky, and y'all have a great week. And let's see. Yeah, let's check this out.